left behind the knowledge as inheritance. It or takes it, he would then take a great share of the good. And we all know that the inheritor is a relative of the one who is inherited. Allah Ta'ala has praised the people of knowledge and encouraged all the slaves to seek the knowledge and ask for more of it, as well as in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which it encouraged the Muslims to seek knowledge. So the issue of seeking knowledge is very important, and seeking knowledge is much better than doing some worshipping deeds. It is the best and greatest worship, and it is a worship which is optional, voluntarily done, and it is one way of jihad fi sabilillah. So we have to seek the knowledge if we wish to be in the higher positions and ranks. Knowledge, dear brothers and sisters, is something very valuable. It is not something simple, but it is very, very valuable. And that's why we all have to think of ilm and go for it, as this is the only way we can protect the ummah from being attacked by the shaitan and devils. This is the only way that the ummah can be protected from misguidance. And we all see the big mess today under the name of Islam and people of knowledge, while they are false people of knowledge. As Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Fatir, ayah 28, praising the people of knowledge, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Verily, the most ones who fear Allah are the people of knowledge. Why? Because the ulama say, كُلَّمَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ بِرَبِّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ لَهُ أَرْجَى وَمِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. As more as the slave be more knowledgeable of his Lord, he would then will be or will have a good hope with his Lord, and at the same time he fears his Lord. So the hope will make him always to work and do the good deeds, and fearing his Lord always make him avoid any thing that can make his Lord unpleased with him. As seeking knowledge is a cause to please Allah. It is a cause for the good life in this life and in the grave and in the hereafter. Knowledge perfects the manners and characters. And when it is accompanied or combined together with sincerity, which is essential for every deed, then this will be a protection from the evils on all what the kinds of it. That is the ilm and the merit of ilm. And the people of ilm always be the best people. And the Sahaba took much care of that, as in the hadith that Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I hear that there is a man from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam who is teaching a hadith that I never heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he heard it while I did not. He said, I bought a camel and I rode on it and I traveled for one complete month till I reached Al-Sham, and it might be Damascus. And there I found that this Sahabi was Abdullah ibn Unais al-Ansari. Jabir said, I sent someone to tell him that Jabir is at the door. So Abdullah ibn Unais came to me, or he said to the messenger whom I sent, he said to him, is it Jabir ibn Abdullah? Man came to me and asking me if I'm Jabir ibn Abdullah. I said, yes. So he turned back and told Abdullah ibn Unais. So Abdullah immediately came and hugged me and said, Jabir said, I said to Abdullah ibn Unais, a hadith that I hear that you teach, from which you hear from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I did not hear, and I fear that I die before I hear it from you. Allahu Akbar. Jabir ibn Abdullah buys a camel, travels alone one complete month in a very dangerous journey, only for one hadith. And this is Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj rahimahullah ta'ala, travels one complete month to listen to a hadith from the narrator directly. And this is Abu Zur'a al-Razi and Muhammad ibn Sayyir and others. They travel for long distance, walking on their feet, all that just to collect the knowledge. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, every praising for the slave in the Quran is the fruit of the ilm. So we have to take care of that and seek knowledge properly. And there is a way on how to seek knowledge. As Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said in his book, Al-Ilm, the book of knowledge, he said, the student of knowledge must base his knowledge on seeking it upon the usul, the principles of it. As the poet says, وَبَعْدُ فَالْعِلْمُ بُحُورٌ زَاخِرَةٌ لَنْ يَبْلُغَ الْكَادِحُ فِيهِ آخِرَةٌ لَكِنْ فِي أُصُولِهِ تَسْهِيلًا لِنَيْلِهِ فَحْرَصْ تَجِدْ سَبِيلًا اغتنم القواعد الأصولا فمن تفته يحرم الوصولا. He says, afterward, the knowledge is wide seas. The one who doesn't get tired may not reach the end of it. But the principles in it brings ease for those who are anxious to collect it. So give the principles, the qawa'id, which are the usul, which if missed from somebody, then he would not reach to the target he wants. And there are two ways to collect the knowledge. The books that been compiled by very trustworthy authors, however, seeking knowledge from the books is not permitted for anyone, but for those who have good understanding and intelligence, and beside all that, it is not sufficient for one to reach his target. And there are two main barriers in this way of seeking knowledge. The first barrier is the long period, as when you sit to the alim, this will make the period lesser. But when you just read by your own self, this will take a longer time. As the alim will give you the conclusion of his experience. And the second barrier of taking ilm from the books is that this kind of ilm becomes weak. It's not strong. And that's why those people who depend on books, you find them widely mistaken whenever they give any judgment of ilm or any decision in regard to the ilm. The second way of seeking knowledge is to seek it from the ulama, the authentic or the trustworthy ulama. That is the way how you take that ilm, who can differentiate between the true and false and doubt, between the authentic and non-authentic hadith and the like. So we have to take care of the ilm, and there are ways and reasons or causes of helping one to seek knowledge. First thing is fearing Allah. That is the first help for seeking knowledge. We have to fear Allah, and all what we do or what we stop doing, all should be based on taqwa. As what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 131, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَإِنْ تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. And in the other ayah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ واتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله. As what Allah said in Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 29, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويغفر لكم والله ذو الفضل العظيم. Or you who believe, verily if you fear Allah, Allah will give you a distinguished, so you know the good of and the bad, and forgives all sins. And as Imam Shafi'i رحمه الله تعالى said, شكوت إلى وكيع سوء حفظي فأرشدني إلى ترك المعاصي وقال أعلم بأن العلم نور ونور الله لا يؤتر عاصي. I complained to وكيع, my weak remembrance or my weak memory, so he guided me to stop and abandon and avoid the disobedience. And he said to me, verily the knowledge is a light, and the light of Allah would never be given to a disobedient. And it is, as we said, a cause of increasing the ilm, I mean the taqwa. As what Allah Ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. The second cause of help on seeking knowledge is the continuous studying and learning. As what the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, reported by Imam Muslim in his book As-Sahih, in the book of Supplication, he said, verily, he said, whomsoever takes a way to seek knowledge in it, Allah Ta'ala would give him a way to the Jannah. So everyone needs to work hard on that. And the third is memorizing. So the one who wants to seek knowledge and be good in it must memorize, because books not always with you. And the ulama says, العلم ما حواه الصدر لا ما حواه القمطر. The knowledge is what is in the chest, not in the book. And this will need from one to write down his knowledge, because one doesn't know what will happen to him As it is said, العلم صيد والكتابة قيده قيد صيودك بالحبال الواثقة فمن الحماقة أن تصيد غزالة وتتركها بين الخلائق طالقة. Knowledge is a hunted animal, and writing it is the rope that you tie it with. So tie your hunted animals with these, with the strong ropes, as it is foolishness to hunt a gazelle and then leave it in the jungle alone without tying. The fourth is accompanying the ulama, be with them as much as you can. As much as you can. So you have to seek the knowledge. But with the things we said, and we have to know that there are things that prevents from seeking knowledge. There are things that can stop one from seeking knowledge. As what we said before, the intention. إنما الأعمال بالنيات, as in the hadith agreed upon from the hadith of Umar bin Khattab. And this is something very difficult. It needs a lot of work. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, I never struggled against anything hard other than my intention. So we have to take care of that. And the third barrier of seeking knowledge is abandoning the circles of knowledge. That is very dangerous. As many people abandon the circle of knowledge and prefers to stay by their own, and that is wrong. And as the Salaf used to say, العلم يؤتى ولا يأتي. Knowledge should be reached by people who want it. Knowledge cannot reach you wherever you are. But today, as you all see and hear, that the knowledge is approaching the people. It comes to where they live, where they stay. But they never go to it, except for some people, and the fourth barrier is the continuous absence from the circles of knowledge and the excuses one gives to himself not to attend, as he is too busy or so and so. The fifth is abandoning seeking knowledge in early ages. The sixth is, as we said, abandoning seeking knowledge at all. Seventh is recommending oneself, and that is a big, big problem today. Everyone is recommending himself. I am the one. I know better. I this, I that. the earth is seeking knowledge but not using it. And that is a real problem. العلم يهتف بالعمل فإن أجابه إلا ارتحل. العلم calls the act or the action. If it comes to it, or the علم will leave it. And we have to be patient with seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge requires a lot of patience. As well, Imam Abu Hilal al-Askari who died in the year 400 of Hijrah, said as in his book الحث على حفظ العلم أو الحث على طلب العلم والاجتهاد في جمعه, encouragement of collecting the علم and seeking it. In the sixth chapter there, he said the chapter of patience on seeking knowledge and continuously seeking it. And there he said that Umar ibn Shabbah said, we used to sit to Al-Asma'i and some of our companions come, like Al-Riyashi, Wal-Ziyadi, Wal-Mazini, Wal-Jarmi, Wal-Sadri, Wal-Sijistani, Wal-Khalq, and they sit in the basement on the soil, and the wind might blow sand or soil on them and it gets into our heads. And one day he asked my soul we are in, and he used to say, once the books get more, sorry, once the wind, once the mu'tafikat, the wind gets more and more, increases, the earth gives its treasure, meaning the rain comes and the wind brings the and vegetation. So anyway, the ulama used to be on big patience on seeking knowledge, and the one who is in hurry of seeking knowledge would not get nothing, as they say, من استعجل الشيء قبل أوانه عوقب بحرمانه. Whosoever wants to think before its time would be punished by preventing it from him. So we have to be on patience, and we have to show much patience, as patience is the best thing that man can be given. And here there are some books that help the student of knowledge as a beginner. and from these books is Zad al-Muslim al-Yawmi for Sheikh Abdullah ibn Jarallah, and this is for dhikr, and we know dhikr that purifies the soul. And then al-Arba'in al-Nawawiyya, which is of a hadith, 40 a hadith of Imam Nawawi, and it is 42 a hadith in fact, and it relates to the aqidah and ibadah. And then the book of Tawheed with the hashiya, the explanation of Ibn Qasim, a simple explanation. And this book, Kitab al-Tawheed, has a lot of explanations. Ibn Qasim is the most simple one of it, and we have old and new explanations. And Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah for Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, with the explanation of Shaykh Fawzan, which is, mashallah, very summarized, but very beneficial. And the book of Sifatu Salat al-Nabi for Imam Albani, and the same Sifatu Salat al-Nabi for Imam Ibn Baz. May Allah Ta'ala forgive them both. And there is a small book compiled by Fahd al-Shuwayb, called Sifatu Wudu al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then Riyadu al-Salihin for Imam al-Nawawi. And there is a good explanation on it. For Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, which is, mashallah, very simple for everyone to understand. And then some of the mustalah, like the mustalah al-hadith for Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, which is very simple. And the Bayquniyya, and then Kitab al-Usuli min ilm al-Usul, from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen again. And then the books of Fatawa, and especially the Fatawa of the Kibar, like Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Fawzan, and others. And then he can go to Kitab al-Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, and others till he reach, yani, the books of the major books of Islam. But by that he needs also to read the biographies of the ulama of Islam to know how they were working hard to seek this knowledge and to distribute it. How did they travel? How did they sit from morning till evening teaching, and some studying? Read like the book of Imam al-Dhahabi, Sir A'lam al-Nubala, and others, to see how the ulama collected this ilm. It's not something simple that they just find it, but they worked very hard to get it. And hear some advices for Talib al-Ilm, especially the beginner, as the first advice that we can give to Talibul Ilm is fearing Allah. Fearing Allah is the first and important thing for Talibul Ilm, and that is the thing that helps him to collect more ilm, as Allah Ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ اللَّهُ. And fear Allah, and Allah will teach you, give you more knowledge. The second is reading the books that related to the knowledge and the characters of students of knowledge. The third is setting the priorities in seeking knowledge. The fourth is to be careful not to show that you know while you don't know, or not to hope that you be seen, which is a showing off. The fifth is praising Allah always. The sixth is sending peace and blessings to the Prophet ﷺ whenever he is mentioned, and never abbreviate, like what people do in Arabic. They say Saad or Sal'am, or in English they say BBO or something like that. Be some blessings, be abonim. That is not good. The seventh advice is, whenever the Sahaba are mentioned, you say radiyallahu anhum. And the rest of the ulama, you say rahimahullah. And the ninth advice is, always refer to the book that you read the information in, or the tape that you hear the information from, or the person. And if, for example, the person said, it is reported in Bukhari and Muslim that this hadith, this, you never, when you come to report, you never say, it is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. You say, I hear so and so saying that it is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. As if he is wrong or mistaken or lying, then you are free, because you referred it to him. Unless you go and find it yourself, then yes, you can say in Bukhari and Muslim, or any book or any person that you refer to. And you have to make sure of what you bring to the people, that it is true as you say. And never to use the ba'if ahadith or mawdu'. This is not to be a support to your knowledge, or should not be a support to your knowledge. And there are a lot of advices, like writing down all the benefits you get from book, from tape, from internet, from a lecture, whatsoever mean you write it down. One day you will need to go back to it. And the last thing we say is, you should have a regular visit to the libraries and bookstores to know what is new in the bookstores today, or book field today. So these are the advices we can give in this very quick and summarized and short, and compressed lecture about ilm, although the issue of ilm requires a long lecture from us to give, but may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us to conduct another another lecture to give more explanation and emphasis about ilm. That is the end of the lecture of today. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who seek the ilm sincerely for him, for his face, to correct ourselves and correct our people and spread this ilm. May Allah Ta'ala gather us in the day of resurrection with the person who brought us this ilm, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the imam of all the ulama and all the prophets, the best of all creation. And may Allah Ta'ala bring us in the day of resurrection in the queue of the ulama, and make us from the shuhada and shufa'a. والله تعالى أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. Here we end up our session to our lecture today, and now we take questions first from the phone from the people in Singapore, and inshallah one from the telelink, one from the internet. In sequence. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Naam ya akhi Abul Hasan, tafadhal. Naam. The book of dhikr. Naam, that is the book of عبد الله الجار الله الذكر اليومي, or any other book of dhikr like حسن المسلم, right? But I just gave example. But any book of dhikr which is small can be carried in book, and one can read from it the adhkar of the day and night, the adhkar of sleeping, awakening, and the like. And regard to the brothers on the net, you please pass your question to the main screen. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Naam. طيب, this is a good question. Must a Salafi طالب العلم have tazkiyah from the ulama before or so he can conduct classes? Yes, he has to have a tazkiyah, not as somebody they know, but a tazkiyah of the field that he can teach. And the alim must say, because many people go to the ulama. Hello, Abul Hasan. Okay. Many people go to the ulama and, for example, say, "I need a tazkiyah for the jami'a," or "I need a tazkiyah to marry," or "I need," and then they use it as a tazkiyah for teaching, and that is wrong. A tazkiyah for teaching, as Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said, "I did not sit for teaching or giving fatwa until 70 of the ulama of Medina recommended me for." So we have to first of all give them, we have to ask them for to bring the tazkiyah to teach, and what field they should teach in. Not anybody has tazkiyah can teach anything, because today a big mess. today a real mess in the Muslim world. One who has no tazkiyah or even has tazkiyah, for example, in Quran. He studied Quran with someone, and mashallah, he's a good reciter, and he has isnad to Rasulullah. That is great, but what is the relation between the isnad of reciting Quran and teaching, for example, the fiqh? There is a big difference. He should first of all learn fiqh so he can teach fiqh. Aqeedah, he should first learn aqeedah and then teach aqeedah. Hadith, he should first learn hadith and mustalah and then teach it. And the like. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. There is a question here from the net. We'll read it for you as well. Please mention the first point on seeking knowledge. Sincerity and sincerity. We have to be sincere when we seek knowledge, when we teach knowledge, when we worship. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Everybody must be sincere, first of all, and then after that, seek knowledge and the like. نعم والله أعلم. نعم يا أبو الحسن فضل. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. What's your name? شبير حسين. حياكم الله. نعم. أصول القرآن. In أصول الفقه, we said, نعم, we said the book of Sheikh Uthaymeen, الأصول, لمعرفة الأصول. That is very simple book for Sheikh Uthaymeen. Or you can have, for example, المذكرة for Imam الشنقيطي. نعم. The second one is المذكرة for Imam الشنقيطي رحمه الله تعالى. And of course you all know the book called Al-Waraqat for Imam Juwayni. You know the book, the small book called Al-Waraqat for Imam Al-Juwayni, Al-Shafi'i, Imam Al-Haramayn. Al-Juwayni, Juwayni. Juwayni, Juwayni, J-W I-N-I, Juwayni. Naam. No, Usul al-Fiqh, there is nothing called Usul al-Quran. You have the recitation of Quran, you have the tafsir of Quran. The recitation of Quran, first of all, you need to learn the qa'ida, either Nuraniya or Baghdadiya. Qa'ida on how to pronounce the Arabic word and alphabet. And then you take the Tajweed, which tells you this is Idgham, this is that, you know. In Tafsir Quran, you better begin with the book of Imam Al-Sa'di. No, As-Sa'di. Naam, As-Sa'di. Wayakum. There is here a question from the net, says, right, this is Tafsir Al-Sa'di, the easiest one. Naam. Here is a question from the internet, says, Sheikh, please can you also give advice that if someone teaching Quran and anything regarding Tajweed, they need Ijazah and Tazkiyah. If we consider that teaching Quran and Tajweed is part of the ilm, then we need to have Ijazah. I am always very tough in that field. No one can teach until he gets ijazah. Why? It's not because he doesn't know. No, but he cannot trust his knowledge until someone else who is senior to him examine that knowledge, and then can either tell him, yes, your understanding is good, go and teach, or says, no, you are not yet mature in knowledge, you have to sit and study more. That's why we need to have ijazah or tazkiyah. Naam, ya Abu al-Hasan. Naam. 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 The graduate of... Yeah, you finished? Okay. Naam. When we say... طيب, take the answer. First of all, when we said ijazah, we do not mean literally from a particular alim. This is the best. This was the Salaf way. But today we have universities. A graduate from a university, especially like Medina University, must be qualified to teach. But we need to be careful of his manhaj, of his methodology, whether he is Salafi or not, because usually the student is influenced by the teacher. The student is influenced by the teacher. So, we need just to know about that. If he is teaching the Salaf book, it's not necessarily, he is teaching the Salaf book, he cannot give something wrong. He may give something wrong. But how we make sure that he is good and not making something wrong? By seeing him connecting or contacting the ulama. If he is isolating himself totally from the ulama of the Salaf, then he is somebody who has a question mark in front of him. But if he wishes to call, but he is he is short in money, he cannot call, this is a different thing. We need to help him and make him call the ulama. And by the way, talib al-ilm should not stand separately, especially today when we have telephones, can make telelink, when we have internet, can contact the ulama and follow their lectures. My advice to you, brothers, everywhere, brothers and sisters, there are certain ways to collect the ilm directly from the ulama, besides studying with tulab al-ilm, who are graduates from the jami'a, whether Islamiyah or any other jami'a, then we have a way to have the ilm, which is to have a telelink with the alim at least once a week. And this telelink should be for all the questions that the community need. Who is going to answer these questions? It must be an alim. So this talib al-ilm should have a contact with the alim at least once a week, and bring him all the questions of the uh, of the of the public, of the people. And then the alim will answer. Both talib al-ilm and the awam will benefit. Both will benefit. Talib al-ilm will record and memorize the fatwa of the alim and the dalil for this fatwa. He came to him, he will know how to deal with it. But a talib al-ilm who is isolating himself from the ulama intentionally, I myself have a question mark around him. If he is Salafi or not, and I don't recommend people to take ilm from him. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. There is a question here from the net, says, okay. It says, should we keep on memorizing the Quran and the Hadith, or should we only memorize that which we act upon? Well, you begin memorization with Quran, and memorize from the Quran as much as you can, because whatsoever Quran you memorize is going to be a protection for you in dunya from jinn, from hasad, from whatsoever, and it is going to be a kind of light in your body, so it will show you the truth, the haqq. It will, and that's why Allah Ta'ala yani commanded us to read the Quran and memorize the Quran and understand the Quran and teach the Quran. This is the speech of Allah, nothing is like it. So we have to treat it the correct way. We have to make it our first priority. Memorize it, understand it, work upon it, and the like, and teach it. And then we go to the hadith, we go to the other ulum, but better to start with the Quran, better to begin with the Quran. Wallahu a'lam. Na'am, Abu Hassan, you have a question? Faddal. Na'am. 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 Right now, you said that there are six schools which have bid'ah. Line cut. Right, here is a question from the net, says, it's a continuation. Even if sometimes we fall short in acting upon it, if you fall short in acting upon it, you need to repent and seek forgiveness from Allah and return back. That is the only way. In England, they have recreation centers where they have only women swimming. Can Muslim women go to the swimming pools if it is for women only, and if they, the Muslim women, wear clothes that cover their hard awrah? No, Allah musta'an. Allah Ta'ala says to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. The proper place for the woman is the house, nothing else. If your house is not paradise enough for you, our sister, to stay, then I don't know where else you can find your convenience, recreation centers, swimming pools, gardens, whatsoever. Ya Akhti, the Muslim woman is commanded by the Quran to remain home, to remain seated home. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was something called steam house, and the men used to go to the steam house for deep cleaning. Women at the Jahiliyyah used to go to it, But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid that for women. So we have to be careful of that and stay, I mean the women should stay away from getting there, even if they are all women, even if they are all Salafi women, it does not make any difference. It does not make any difference, Ya Khawat. Stay home, recite Quran, learn Quran, get to the net and learn from the like of the rooms like Salafi Durus room and for all room and the like rooms, Salafi rooms which teaches the ilm. That is the way. And life Salafi Durus is a very rich site and room of the lectures of the ulama. You benefit there, and many of them are translated. And even it is, yani, to me, it is number one room and website for all the Salafis to go, because there you hear the alim. You can ask the alim. That is better. But not to go to the swimming pool or to the recreation center. My advice is fear Allah and remain home. And the Jannah, the paradise, is better for everyone. Yes, Al-Basira as well. Al-Basira is much, yani, is what we call number one, two also. Al-Basira, you have all the kibar al-ulama, yani, mashallah, all the mashayikh who comes on the live Salafi Durus, and the mashayikh, the other mashayikh like kibar al-ulama and the others. Anyway, all these websites and websites and rooms in Paltok like live Salafi Durus, Al-Basira, Ilm for All, these all are websites and at the same time rooms in Paltok by the same name. You better go there. There you can learn your knowledge, your deen, and you see the ulama and ask them. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa jazakum allahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You all are invited to attend the dars of Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi in about an hour from now in Salafi Durus. And after that there is a dars of Sheikh Ubayd. يعني after صلاة العشاء. This will continue regularly all this week until the end of the week, I mean until Wednesday. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.